And I've been saying for a little while, I really think that we're just on the edge of the Lord doing a new thing and a good thing in our midst. And we're seeing that, and it's happening with us and in us even now as we speak. People being prayed for, people being healed, people hearing the word of God and it actually coming into their lives and bringing liberty and life to them. And none of us are exempt from that that move, you know. And I guess for all of us, we're on our own personal journey. And as we were singing one of those songs this morning, it says, giving me the time to change, washing away the stains. You know, and there were just tears in my face because, you know, well, in a few weeks, so if you want some, I'm 59 years. And I guess I first remember, years old, and I remember the Lord speaking to me when I was 7. And you'd think by now I'd have things sorted. And yet just over the last few weeks, I just really sense God moving again in my life in a new way, in a deeply personal way. And realizing that there were things in my life that still needed to be sorted out, still needed to be worked through so that he can do more in me. And he made that a very deeply personal journey. And let's put the first slide up, then we can go from there. And I had this song, it's in the old Redemption hymnal, and I kept hearing the chorus, and maybe we'll come back to it later. And because the chorus is leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And it's just so true. And here in Deuteronomy 33, it says, there is none like God, the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help. And through the skies in his majesty, the eternal God is a dwelling. He's a dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Is that sense of security? And a lot of what we've sung today, a lot of what we've heard over the last week is just reinforcing this whole sense of the love of God that is surrounding us and coming to us to hold us secure. And I remember Katie wanted to start out last week. She firmly believed her message was just about God is good, and yet she found herself talking a lot of time, but troubles come. And we've sung a couple of songs with that this morning. Troubles come. And when troubles come, God is still good. And we've been singing that again this morning. And I guess I want to reinforce that from a personal point of view. And I guess I've been on a journey over the last couple of weeks with the Lord in that. So my journey, Katie's message last week, you know, God is good, yet you will have troubles. And I've been praying for the Lord to do more in my life, to see more of his power at work in our midst. And a couple of weeks ago, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Maureen Patterson in the prayer meeting before said, oh, Ian, I've got a word for you. And she was apologizing for having this word, thinking it was like, oh, this is, oh, she was, I don't know if she was afraid of me or afraid of the Lord. I don't know what it was, but she had this word. And Ian, you're carrying burdens you're not meant to carry. They're weighing you down and they're not for you to carry. And the Lord will lift these from you. Now, I've had to be praying over that for a couple of weeks to say, well, Lord, what is that? What are you doing? How can I, you know, I can say the words. Yeah, say the words. But it needs to happen. And I needed to come to a place of understanding. And the Lord's began to show me some things. And the last bit doesn't come up on the slide, but it doesn't really matter. And just that whole sense of what the Lord is showing me. And the Lord keeps singing songs to me, which is kind of nice. And we'll see what happens, because I don't know if this is going to work or not, you see. Are you hurt? Are you troubled? Does your heart ache with pain? Are you weary and angry? Can't find peace again? Then come to the Father and rest in his love. Let his strong arms surround you in peace from above. Find rest for your soul and look into his face. And he'll fix his eye on you and give you his grace. Oh, rest, trouble one, let the Lord take your pain. You're forgiven and healed and made whole again. and all the goodness of heaven is showered on you. So greater things that he did, you can now do. Oh, come to the Father and rest in his love. Let his strong arms surround you in peace from above. He's very gracious. He let me write the words out this time. And I just sense that that's how personal the Lord is to me right now. And he comes with words of encouragement. And let's see what happens if this... There we go, we're off and running. And this came up in the readings we do together. And I just think just it's one of these scriptures that is pretty amazing, isn't it? I love it. We used to sing it years ago. Very jolly tune we sang it. Ho, everyone who thirsts. Don't that one, but here it is. Ho, everyone who thirsts. It's like he's shouting in the marketplace. Do you hear the market traders shouting? The guy say, come and get these bananas, only a pound, pound for the bananas, whole basket full. And here's the Lord shouting, ho, everyone, are you thirsty? Come to the waters, you have no money. Oh, the market trader didn't say that. You have no money. Come, that you may buy and eat. Come and buy without, oh, I need to read it from here, it's a bit clearer, sorry. I can't read that far. Come, buy without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me. A really important word there. Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. I like the King James. It says delight yourself in fatness. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear. Here it is then. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. We can find his goodness in our lives. It comes freely to us, but it comes from this place of intimacy. Coming to him. Coming to that place where he is. And we need to incline our ear. It's not going to do it again, is it? Yep, there it goes. Just a bit of precision. Maybe the battery's getting a bit weak in this. And this is carrying on in the same scripture. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We know those words, or some of us know them very well. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you can find him. And it says, let the unrighteous man give up his thoughts. And you know what my favorite scripture is. Who can tell me what my favorite scripture is? And I give it in every sermon. Romans 12, thank you. Somebody's been listening. And it's the stuff that plays on our minds that we need to deal with. And he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And Romans 12 says, be transformed therefore by the renewing of your mind that you may know what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. And we need our minds to be changed, not by thinking hard, not by trying to work out some new theology in our own mindset, but by allowing his spirit to feed our minds, not letting the world feed our minds, but allowing God to feed our minds. And I've had to come to the Lord in that way over the last couple of weeks, saying, Lord, you know, if over 50 odd years I can't sort some of these things out, my emotions go all over the place and I don't know where I'm at with you, and I want to see your power move and I want to see things. And Lord, we're in trouble. We're in trouble right now. There's stuff going on in our family that is causing us deep hurt and deep pain. It's causing us terrific anguish to see our kids hurting each other and see them creating huge pain. And it's really painful for us, and I want to fix it. And that's me, you see. I want to fix it. I feel I should be able to fix it. I feel, that's what Maureen was saying, all that burden come upon me, all that emotional pain, and I want to take them and squeeze them until all that pain squeezed out of them, and all their anger and all their hurt that brings them to where they're at is gone, and they can live in freedom again. And I want to do that, and I can't. I can't. But he gives us a promise nevertheless. Here we go. Still the same scripture. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands, and instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Joy, peace, and his favor is promised to me in my situation, in our troubles, in what we are. That's his promise. And he says, and all the rubbish, I'm going to clear the ground and I'm going to plant something that will live forever as a memorial to the goodness of God. Now I believe that. Do I feel like I believe it? You're right, no. And I needed to say, well, Lord, why is that? Why is that? And I needed to listen and incline my ear and go to a place of prayer. And realize the Lord said, Ian, why are you feeling vulnerable? Why do you want to carry all these burdens? It's because there's pain and hurt still in you that's not yet dealt with. It's not yet been handled. And you know, it's very easy for me to think back and to look from our childhood forward. And Dad's here, and I honor Dad and Mom and our grandparents who were godly people and gave us a wonderful, wonderful Christian upbringing. And yet in all of that, do you know what? They're not perfect either. And even though they gave us the most selfless love and care that we could have, things go on in our lives and our childhood that hurt us. Nobody meant to hurt us. Nobody intended any harm. But things hurt. Even children can be really cruel. I can still remember 5 and a half, 6 years old, sending a little love letter to a girl called Susan Jones in the class, saying, will you marry me? And she just laughed. See, you're laughing. See, I'm just wounded now. See? She just laughed at me. And I've struggled with having, you know, getting on with women ever since. Not true. Not true. But little things like that, you see, we can laugh, but amazingly, it did hurt. And we carry that hurt, and we don't deal with it unless the Lord shows us you need to deal with it. And there's some things that happened over a period of time that the Lord showed me this way. I don't need to go into them because they're not edifying in themselves. But said, not do you just need to give forgiveness. And then I needed to talk things through with Gunilla because it affects how I was relating to Gunilla. It would stop me talking to Gunilla because I was feeling such an emotional burden of things. I thought, well, it's not fair to share it with her. And in the end, I knew I had to share these things. And it was Gunilla's. The Lord speaking through Gunilla that's saying, but Ian, you need to forgive yourself. And I had to realize the Lord was saying to me, I hadn't forgiven myself. And so I was trying to cure the ills of those around me, those I love, and not being able to do it. And I'm a failure. And it causes me pain. And I'm not prepared or wasn't prepared to forgive myself. So that night I needed to pray. And the Lord sings over me. He says, come and give it to me. Let me take it away. See, I can use the words, but only he can do it. Only he can do it. And I've had to abandon. And it's a process. I think I'm still on this journey. There's a process going on. But what I've been finding in it and what I think the Lord's showing me, some of these things I want to share. And Romans 4:7-8, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So we're blessed when we're forgiven. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Again, we've been singing about some of this stuff. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, hallelujah, he is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has done it. He has achieved it. He's paid the price. And there is power in that forgiveness. You know, and if I actually can't forgive myself, if I find things where my life is hindered because I've not actually forgiven myself, I am actually denying the power of God to work in my life. Doesn't feel like I'd be the kind of person who'd want to do that. don't want to deny the power of God in my life. I want to see him working. I want to see Broadfield touched with mighty outpouring of his spirit. And I've been saying, Lord, show me how your power is going to work. And he's saying, but if you don't believe me to heal this pain, how can you believe me to come in power in your life? And that's where I needed to ask forgiveness. That's the point of repentance. That's where I needed to say, Lord, I've not believed you to come and to take those hurts, those pains away, that I let them grow. They're choices of mine from even being quite young. But they've framed my life in some ways of why I want to look after everybody else, why I want to take their pain away, want to bear their burdens when only God can bear their burdens. And I can't do it for them. I can pray for them. I can give them to the Lord. I can have faith in what he wants to do. But that faith is blunted if I don't believe that he's dealt with everything in my life that is wrong. And it's very easy to think of certain things, but forgiving myself was something that wasn't clear to me in some of these issues. And I suddenly realized, looking at some of the scriptures, you know, in the Word, that actually forgiveness releases power. You know, Jesus came and he was healing. And in Mark 2:9 it says, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? At the point forgiveness was released, power was released to work a healing. And he could have done either without the other. But the point is, to show that he had the power to forgive and to show that he had the power to heal, he did both. And that's the power that's at work in us right now. I really thank God for some of you folks in our midst, and I'm going to embarrass David and Pauline. I really thank God that the Lord's brought David and Pauline to us. And talking with David outside in the rain or snow a few weeks back, you know, and there was something in his heart, oh, he really wants to see the Lord moving in healing. Look what's happening. And it's exactly as Pauline said, it's about being available. Just do it. And I thank God for these guys. Really thank God for them. So there is a way forward that's a blessing from God. Got that slide up, move to the next one. And repentance is the way to life. Luke 15:19, the story of the prodigal son. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, says the prodigal. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Do you feel a long way off? Perhaps in some areas of your life. In other areas you're deeply intimate. Other areas feels a long way off. Well, the father's looking and he's running to you to give you his embrace. And the son, the prodigal son here, was returning. And he said, I'm going to come back and say to my dad, just make me a slave, because then I can at least be at home and be restored to a place where there's safety and security. And I'm okay. Make me a slave. But his father took a ring and put it on his finger, and he took a robe and he gave it to him. And Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves, but sons. It's John 15:15. He calls us friends. So therefore, in Galatians 4:7, it says, we are no longer a slave, but a son and an heir through God. We must come to him not with the heart of a prodigal that wants to remain a slave, but we must come to him with a heart that is repentant and open to his spirit, receiving forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, shake off the slave mentality and be the son that he called us to be. And I think we can do that. I guess I compartmentalized my life, and there was an area where I was still prepared to accept I was a slave. And I shouldn't. We don't have to be a slave to be at home with God, because he in his mercy comes and he throws his robe around us and he gives us the ring that's the signet ring. It's my granddad's signet ring, actually, this. I treasure it because I treasure his memory. And it makes me his son, his grandson. Yes. And when this father saw his son, he put a ring on his finger that said, No, you're not a slave. You're a son. And Jesus does that for us. But repentance and then receiving the forgiveness is really, really important. And it's what the Lord has been doing to me. And I just sensed that in the things he's been saying to us in recent weeks, he wants to release more power into our midst. He wants to heal broken hearts. He wants to bring physical healing into people's lives. And he's doing that already. It's happening now in our midst. And it's going to keep happening. And it's going to just escalate. It's going to get more. It's not going to just die and go away. It's going to get more and more. We're going to see more things happening. But we're going to see people healed inside. Pains and hurts that have been there for years, restricting and holding, the chains are going to be broken. I hope it doesn't take 50 odd years for you to get to that point. But the Lord will bring power into our lives if we let him. And there is power in his presence. I was just looking for these pictures of safe arms and things like that. The Lord's got babies, haven't they? And because that's how I want to feel. I want to feel towards our kids right now. I want to hold them and protect them from everything. And the Lord's saying, you've got to let go. You've got to let go and let me have them. Isaiah 40, 10 through 11. It says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power. So, actually, I mean, I wasn't deliberately doing it. He revealed it in his time. But if I held on to those things in my life, hold on to hurts or pains or things that he wants to heal, unforgiveness he wants to release me from, I'm not making him Lord. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends the flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. And he gently leads those that have young. What a promise. He's going to shepherd you. He's going to gather you in his arms. He's going to carry you. Most of us know that footsteps thing, you know, one set of footsteps. He carries us when we need it. Those safe arms, those secure arms. And yet, they're power. They're from the sovereign God. In his presence is power. When we know we're weak. Why are these images all got little babies in and big strong hands? Because the baby's weak on its own. It's dependent. And we sometimes, something in my life was still wanting to be independent. Say, I could fix this. I want to make our family right. I want to help them. I want to heal their hurts. And Lord said, you can't do it, son. Give it up. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 10, Paul says, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, troubles, all those things that we'd rather do without. Because for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. There is strength in his presence. Praise God when we can recognize need and weakness in our life. He doesn't come to us when we're full of strength and independence. He comes to us when we need him. And he comes in power when we call on his name. Did we sing that this morning? I don't know. Just amazing. So how great is God's love for us? Well, try to explain it. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, 1 John 3:1. Not given in short measure. Not given just enough so that you can get by. He's lavished it upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Not a slave. Don't come to him trapped in a slave mentality. If you're finding that in your life, then seek him while he may be found. Listen to him and let him work and deal with you in your life. He will show you. It might take you a few days or a week or a couple of weeks, but he will come and he will show you and he will teach you and he will hold you in his arms. If I live a life that does not live the life as a son, I deny the power of the cross. And there were tears in my eyes this morning when we sang some of those songs, because if I think of Jesus on the cross, taking my pain, taking my sin, taking my hurt, and nailing it on that piece of wood and shedding his blood so that I could have life. It's just too awesome. It's too awesome. I never want to be hardened in my heart to the love that God has lavished upon me. So why do I need his help? John 3, verses 3 to 6, Nicodemus comes. Jesus replied, declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And we'll never be what we were created to be unless we do it his way. There is only one way to come to God, and that's through the work of Jesus Christ, to be born again by the Spirit. And we have to give up our selfish independence and depend on him, not because he's demanding it or because he's all powerful, but because he loves us and wants to be a father to us. His Spirit is eternal. He wants us to live eternally with him. Again, one of my favorite verses in Romans 2. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not his judgmental wagging finger. It's not a list of his laws. It's not a fear of judgment that brings us to God. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And I think I'm still learning what it is to live and to walk in the Spirit. Even at house group this week, we're following this series about prayer, and the Lord takes me off in a different place, and I'm suddenly getting revelation about, oh Lord, and I don't think I can explain it even now, but because it's just revelation bubbling up of what it is to be led by the Spirit instead of being led by the world, led by my soul, led by my emotions, trying to work things out in my head. It's got to be the Spirit, because it says in the Word, it's the Spirit that appraises spiritual things. And if I am born of the Spirit and born in his way, then it's the Spirit that's got to take first place. And it's the Spirit that feeds my mind. It's the Spirit that feeds my soul, not the other way around. And too often we find ourselves being fed by the world, being fed by our emotions, our mind is fed by all those things, and we get in a mess. Instead of allowing the Spirit to make us come to the point where our mind is fully convinced that he is able to do that which he's promised. Son or slave, Romans 8, 13 through 15. For if you live according to the sinful nature, that is to our old way of life, to let our lives be ruled by the world, you'll die. Okay. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. There it is. It's letting the Spirit lead us that brings us into sonship. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Daddy, Abba Father. No longer a slave, but we are sons. Free from judgment, free from hopelessness. Listen to him, listen to his Spirit, because he wants to glorify Jesus in our lives. You know, and sometimes we think, oh, but my heart is so down, my heart is so tangled up, and will I ever get free of this? And he provides a way out despite the way our heart is. Psalm 66:19 says, but God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. And that's certainly how I've felt in the last couple of weeks. Lord, I don't know how to sort this out. I don't know how to sort out my emotions. I don't know how to sort out the pain that I feel for about our family and other things. But praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. That's what it says in Psalm 66. There is hope despite how we feel, because God hears our prayer. If you've got a long memory, you'll know I've used these slides in a previous sermon. 2 years ago. If we turn to him, he satisfies our deepest desire. Psalm 103, 1 to 6. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Wow. Wow and wow and wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being. Forget not his benefits. David was encouraging people this morning. If God has done something, we need to say it out. He's saying that to me just at the coffee bar. Speak it out. We need to speak out what God is doing. Forget none of his benefits. Declare it. That way we'll be giving thanks. He satisfies your desires with good things. Sometimes I wonder where my desires are. Really do. The world comes in like a flood sometimes and you wonder what's going on. But he comes and he satisfies like no other can satisfy. He gives a peace and a joy like no other can give. He will heal the heart and the soul like no other can. Because only he is love that is perfect. It's interesting, I think just in the last, 48 hours, I don't know what, I've heard twice off the TV, it was on the news, somebody on the news this morning, talking about people who've been scammed because they've gone on internet sites where they were trying to find love. And the lady said, everybody wants to have love and feel approved of. And I don't know, it was a film we saw, it was on some other different thing I saw on TV, but twice in the last week, everybody wants to feel loved and approved of. And you see, because some of those stupid hurts that lay in my heart, I was still struggling, even with all that God has given me, a beautiful, wonderful wife that God has given me, to actually sometimes feel that I was being approved of. How ridiculous. How stupid. I know it's stupid. That's why I didn't want to talk to her about it, because it's just ridiculous. How could I possibly feel like that? And yet deep down inside, there was something crying out that wasn't being met because I hadn't come to a place of dealing with something that I needed to deal with. And only by sharing it with Gunilla did the revelation come. It's just amazing, isn't it? We're meant to be in fellowship. We're meant to live with one another. And it's certainly nothing lacking in Gunilla's love or my family's love or anything like that that ever brought that to be that place in my heart. It's how I perceive things in the past, how I looked at things, how I let those build in my life. And the Lord says, it's time to let it go. It's time to let it be healed. It's time to let it fall away so that you can move in power. So here we go. How do we change our heart condition? Psalm 61, 1-4. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge and a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Do you know, if you really struggle to find a prayer that pours out your heart, dive into Psalms. That just really expresses kind of where I was at. Lord, I'm just getting fed up with just feeling like this, fed up with my emotions pushing me around, fed up with hurts that I can't handle. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And from desperation and weakness in humility we can come to him. Hallelujah. 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 On to the last slide. You'll be glad to know. Lean on him. Psalm 37, 3-5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It didn't work, sorry. Thanks, Karen. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart may fail. Yes. Reality. Just realize that. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. Isn't that fantastic? There are people here this morning you need to know those everlasting arms are there to catch you. That song he sung over me could just as be there for you. Are you hurt? Are you weary? Are you in pain? Then fall into his arms again. just let yourself go. Abandon. You've got to abandon. You've got to let go. We've got to let go of things so that we can fall, so he can catch us. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And this old hymn writer, Elias Hoffman, I think it was 1887 when I looked it up on the internet this morning. What a fellowship, what a joy. I don't know if I could make up a tune to this, who knows. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. 'Cause I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Yes, I'm leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Oh, I'm leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. If you take nothing else away today, let those words trail in your heart and abandon yourself to him. He will do it. He will come in like a flood. I'm excited, you know, because I realize that in actually accepting all his forgiveness and goodness starts to release his power. And we're just beginning to see the beginnings of it. I don't know, little things. It's just, I woke up in a dream on Friday night. Woke up from a dream where I thought about someone I haven't seen or known or heard of for a long time. Dear soul friend of ours, Douglas Mitchell. He was very getting on in years, 88. And I dreamt about him that he passed on to be with the Lord, and his daughter was trying to sort out the house. And I woke up and prayed for Ruth that she'd have strength to sort out his house. And I said, Lord, is he with you? The next morning we got a letter in the post from Ruth saying, our dear father Douglas passed away after a long and happy life. And Lord said, Ian, that's just the beginning. Not Douglas's death, but that he would speak to me, tell me secrets, show me things in the night, show me things from his heart, show me those who would need to be prayed for. Tiny little thing. But I was just like, oh, Lord, we get the letter the next day, and yet in the night, I already knew. A faithful friend. Praise God for his life. I give thanks for his life and his wife, who established a tiny little church up at Norwood Hill. And we used to go and preach there regularly for many, many years. Knew them for 40 years. And the Lord did good things there. And he's gone to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But it was just that little thing. But then the Lord saying to me, but Ian, that's just the beginning. The beginning of what we're seeing and people being healed and touched by the Lord. It's just the beginning. If we release ourselves into his arms, let the work of forgiveness take root in us. Feel his healing in our lives. He's going to do great things, and he is going to do great things here. And he's working with us. He's working in us to make us sons, not slaves. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for the abundance of your grace. Lord, it is amazing to know your grace in such fullness and such power. Your kindness, Lord, blows me away. I thank you for what you've been doing in my life. I thank you for brothers and sisters in this fellowship who've encouraged me and strengthened me and given me a word. Help us to be that for one another. Help us, Lord, to find that place of real sonship. Lord, if there's any area of our lives where we're still behaving like slaves, and lead us on to a place of safety and sonship, that we would glorify Jesus in this neighborhood and bring him honor. Amen.